With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Introducing You with me, that Mr. Christopher. Today's episode is my buddy from Arkansas, America. It's Rob, the editor of the podcast. I've known, I don't know what number it is, because I'm recording this intro and the outro straight after Rob has left my house. And I just recorded the episode intro and outro as well for, I'm having a bit of a bouncy old recording day. So I just recorded Rob. He left my house, and I did the intros and the outros for Luke's episode, which I recorded a good kind of 5 or 6 weeks ago now. So that was episode 9. So I'm recording this about a day or so before episode 9 come out. Anyway, I'm rambling on. I recorded Rob, and normally I do the intros and the outros a couple of days before release, so I can tell you what's coming up on the show, what we had last week, do a review and whatever. I can't do any of that today because I have no idea when this one's going to come out, but I wanted to record the intro and the outro whilst it's fresh in my mind, because it was a buddy of mine doing the meeting, doing the conversation, the interview, or whatever you want to call this thing that I'm doing here, this podcast. And yeah, I thought I'd record it whilst it's fresh in my mind, because yeah, we got into some stuff that I had no idea about. I've known this guy for pretty much 6, nearly 7 years. I remember the day quite clearly. He walked into the restaurant that I used to own when I was 25, and he walked in and he said, I run a comedy night and I want to have my guys that come to the comedy, my customers, my guests that come and watch the comedy, I want them to eat in a local restaurant before the show, do sort of like a pre-theatre menu, can you do it? And I said yeah, and we just got on, really. We had a little business partnership relationship in that sense, is that, you know, I'd give his customers a discount and he'd drive customers to my restaurant before we opened properly. So I got extra diners in and it was great. And he did his comedy and we just stayed Facebook friends. I then kind of closed the restaurant down a year later, and we remained Facebook friends for sort of 6 years. And then when I was putting this podcast together, I knew that he'd done radio before, and I'd asked him to help me out with some advice on recording equipment and bits and pieces. And he said, I'll just edit it all for you, if you like, save you having to learn and how to do that. I obviously jumped on that because it means that I'll get a bit more time to spend on booking guests and stuff like that. And he's been really fantastic. He's not let me down. He's been an absolute superstar for the last couple of months, and I thought, let's sit down and have a conversation, because you're becoming a big part of my life in terms of this podcast, but I don't really know you as a friend, and I kind of want to get to. So let's have a conversation on the podcast and see where that goes. I've never had an American on, and I thought that'd be kind of cool to have a little chat. Today I just found out as well, incidentally, that Trump's deciding that he's not going to let people who are trans be in the military. I don't know. I can't comment too much on it because it's only sort of just been brought to my attention. I think he's only just announced it, and that sucks, man. That really sucks. I can't, like I said, go into it too much. Don't know the ins and outs of it. So until I read up on it, I've just seen a headline that that's what he's now doing. And we speak a little bit about Trump because obviously Rob's American. And then we get into, not too much into politics really, because I'm no politician or no huge interest in American politics. Don't really know what I'm talking about. And Rob doesn't have a huge kind of affinity with one party or another, so we touch on it, but we talk about patriotism. Is that a word? Patriotism? Talk about being patriotic, and we talk about kind of what the differences are between being an American and being a British person, because he's lived here for kind of 17 years or so now, and yeah. Then it takes a turn when I ask him how he met his wife, and gets good. So we stop a couple of times because he sort of get a little bit upset. Bless him. He's a bit like me. I'm a bit of a crybaby. When I see something that sort of moves me, I'll have a little cry. No shame in that. And Rob's quite the same. We spoke about a story from his past which kind of upset him, and it's how he ended up coming to live in the UK, and I had no idea. And I think sort of the reason why I'm doing the intros and the outros on the podcast straight after recording the episode is it's good to have it fresh in your mind for sure. But yeah, I just wanted to make it straight away because it, you know, it was hard for him. We did stop a couple of times so he could sort of compose himself, and he could tell the story. And I'm really grateful because, yeah, it just further drives home why I make the podcast, really, is you can be friends with someone, acquaintances, Facebook buddies, whatever you want to say, you know, someone that you work with, and you can never really know them until you sit down and have a chat. And you say, you know, the point of this is that we have a chat, we have a true and honest conversation, and whatever comes up, comes up. And I had no idea where the conversation would go when I say, how did you end up living in the UK? I don't think he knew that he would go into as much detail as he did. He, at one stage, he almost didn't want to, but he did. So thanks for doing that, Rob. I'm sure you're listening as you're doing the editing. It was a solid one, man. Thanks. So yeah, I'm gonna crack on and let you do it. Enjoy it. I'm introducing you to normal people, different lives. Husbands, brothers, sisters, wives, might have a laugh, might have a cry. So if you've got the time, just sit back and relax. We're gonna have a little chat, and you don't have to answer back. So welcome. I've pressed record. You're going to behave yourself.
Yes.
No, I'm not silly say immaturities. Bad. Yeah. No. So yeah, Rob.
Yes.
Howe, my producer.
Yep.
Editor for the Introducing You podcast. I've got you on because you are a strange chap, and yeah, we might have a good conversation. We might not. And if it's not, I'm going to scrap it, and then you've just wasted your afternoon coming around to record. So
it's never a waste of time when I'm with you.
So what are we going to talk about?
Jerry Springer?
Jerry Springer?
No, not really Jerry Springer.
From American TV, Jerry Springer?
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about him for?
He's my dad.
It's not your dad, God.
It's not my dad.
Have
oh
a
my
serious
God.
Conversation.
We're going to have a serious conversation, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. We've got to have a serious conversation, buddy.
Okay.
You said you had some stories and you'll come on the podcast. And
I did.
I don't know if that was a mistake.
No, no, see, the problem is, you put me in front of a microphone, I turn into, like...
A child.
A child. And I just want to...
Is that how you got into the comedy with the comedy club? Did you actually ever do the stand-up?
No. I never did the stand up. I came.
You just organised it and run comedy nights.
There was one night, with a night in Huddersfield, and our compere hadn't showed up about 2 minutes before it was time for kickoff. And the headline act come up to me and said, you're going to have to compere. And I just looked at him like, what?
Yeah.
Because obviously standing beside the stage is all right. Actually standing on the stage, we must have had like 150, 200 people in the audience.
Cool.
And I just looked at him and he's like, no, seriously, you're going to have to do it. He said, if nothing else, just get on the stage and say like, welcome ladies and gentlemen. And that's as close as I came. I actually went to the bar and ordered a stiff drink, thinking that I was going to have to do that. And after I drank it, I turned and the compere walked in and I was so grateful. So grateful.
You got away with it.
I thought like, yeah, that's not something I want to do.
But
I can say that's not strictly true. I'd love to do it. I'd love to be on stage. But I wouldn't have anything funny to say. And that's, I can understand how people get stage fright, because I don't think I would ever, I think that would be the time in my life that all of a sudden I wouldn't have anything funny to say.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be a child. I wouldn't even be able to say childish things like there the you stuff go. You made me delete.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you are a bit childish. You are a bit of a funny one, but I love you for that. You're a funny guy. But yeah, that's where we sort of met, when I ran a restaurant and you came in and said, I organise these comedy nights and want to do kind of like a pre-show dinner offer for guests, and we set that up, and yeah, that was it. We just sort of stayed buddies from then. That was about 6 years ago now, man.
It was.
About 6 years ago, so American Rob has stayed in my phone and stayed in on my Facebook friends, and didn't really do much until I decided to start this podcast and you jumped on the bandwagon and said that you'll do the editing, because you've got the audio and mixing and all of that skills that I don't have. So there you go.
Yeah.
But I don't know loads about you, really, because, yeah, for the last 6 years, you've been a background, a friend, really.
Yeah.
But now we're having a laugh making this, aren't we?
Yeah. I think see, in my head, as I'm talking, I can hear like
the devil on your shoulder saying, no, say stupid stuff and ruin his podcast. No,
I'm not going to say stupid stuff or childish things like poo. Sorry, I just had just one thing. You got to let me have just one thing, right? I can hear like banjo music in the background and me saying, well, I grew up in a small place.
Yeah.
Close to a town called Garden.
Garden. Look, Gurdon or Garden?
Gurdon. I'm going to write it down Gurdon. For you. Because I know how you...
G-U-R...
Oh, yeah.
D... Oh, D-O-N.
Yeah, so I know how your English like to pronounce things like way wrong. So...
Yeah.
That's the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, little town in Arkansas.
What's I don't know what Arkansas is like at all. Like, I can't remember who I was talking to.
Most people don't even know where it is.
I don't.
It's
Midwest.
Well, we're in between. Mid-East. We got Mississippi on our right. We got Texas and Oklahoma on our left.
Okay.
Louisiana to the bottom. Mississippi, no, the other one. Missouri. To the top. We're a southern state. We're the one that everybody forgets. Even McDonald's don't give us the appreciation we deserve. In their recent promotion, coming from Arkansas, I noticed this. And even with the last promotion, you know, they do the special burgers.
Hmm.
Now, they've done one... I've just told you the states that surround Arkansas, right?
Yeah, they've done
one from Missouri, from Louisiana, Mississippi, Texas, and Oklahoma.
Oh, man.
They literally...
They just went around Arkansas.
And if you want to go to the other states, they've done those as well. But whenever it comes to Arkansas, it's like... But then again, Wendy's is... from Arkansas.
I've never been in a Wendy's.
It's a beautiful place.
When I was in the States, I hit up Ponderosa quite hard.
Yeah.
Do you know Ponderosa?
No.
Ponderosa is epic American buffet. Ponderosa for breakfast and...
Oh, yeah, like that's Shoney's.
Really good.
I haven't been back for so long. I can't even remember what places are called anymore. But no, Wendy's restaurants are, well...
Wendy's are from...
They're based in Arkansas. I don't know if they originated from Arkansas, but they are based in Arkansas.
Maybe that's why McDonald's don't give them any
No, I have no doubt that that's, that is...
Because, people might Google Arkansas Burger thinking they want to find out about the McDonald's one, and then Wendy's
will come up first because it's better.
There you go.
I said that. I'll change my mind if McDonald's wants to give some free vouchers.
Outside of fast food, is Arkansas famous for anything? Teach us about Arkansas.
Let's see. What would Arkansas be famous for? Let's describe Arkansas first. Arkansas is the landmass size of England, with a population of, I think, about 2.5 million.
Wow.
So if you can imagine that spread out all over the state. We don't really have, other than a couple of places, we don't really have densely populated areas.
But is it all like fields and farming, or is it mountains?
We have it all. We've got...
we have it all.
We do, man. We've got...
we've got Wendy's.
We got Wendy's? Yeah. No, if you go to like the mid to northern part, northeastern part of Arkansas, you got like flat, flat land. You've got on the west coast. West coast. We ain't even got a coast. We're landlocked. On a west coast,
you're
right?
You're not doing too well. Describing, yeah.
Yeah, no.
Is it Mississippi or Missouri that's above us?
Yeah.
We've got a coast? No, we haven't.
Like, I'm not really from Arkansas. I'm Canadian.
Oh, man.
I've lived this lie my whole life. I feel so much better for telling you. Now, you
on the west side.
Yeah, on the west side. West side. You've got the or northwest. You've got the Ozark Mountains. It's where all the moonshine's made.
Oh right, okay.
Yeah. And we've got lots of trees, buddy.
Yeah. But is it actually like famed for anything like
Johnny Cash? Johnny Cash comes from Arkansas.
Did he? Yes. I love Johnny Cash. I didn't know he came from Arkansas.
Well, you should watch the movie.
I have watched the movie. That's not one of the things. I haven't watched it for a long time.
Obviously, you didn't read that bit.
Talking about Walk the Line.
That actually said Arkansas.
Yeah.
Like, pretty much the opening scene.
I probably watched it quite a long time ago, and that is not the element that's stuck in my head, I suppose.
For me, it was amazing.
There you go.
Because we don't get a lot of fame. Bill Clinton. From Arkansas.
Bill Clinton's from Arkansas.
Yeah, I think he was where I was born was maybe 32 miles from where he was born. I'll say maybe 32 miles. I mapped it out. It's
so
exactly
what,
32
based,
miles.
Based on the fact that we're in this sort of Trump era and thing like that, what kind of a state is it politically?
Republican. All day long. With the exception of Bill Clinton, I think about 70% of Arkansas is Republican.
So they all loving Trump?
I can't speak for everybody in Arkansas.
No, of course you can't. I mean, I don't know a lot about it.
He won.
A bit politically blind because
I could be wrong here, and people don't tell me off if I am, but I think he won Arkansas by something like 70%.
Right.
Bearing in mind, Bill Clinton was our governor forever, and his wife, Hillary, spent a great deal of her life in Arkansas, and they only, 20%, 30%? Yeah. I honestly don't even think it was 30% voted for her.
Oh, right.
That's how Republican it is.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with the Republican Party.
Yeah. No. I mean, I don't know too much
about
it. Well,
most of my family,
I would say the best person in the world.
Well, see, most of my family, I would say, would be Trump supporters.
Yeah.
That lived in Arkansas.
Do you talk about that?
I try my best to avoid the subject, especially whenever I speak to my dad. Because the irony is, I guess, my dad actually taught me to appreciate politics.
Right.
I can remember, like, growing up, always staying up late, watching the presidential elections.
Yeah.
I remember Reagan, Bush, being elected, but I knew I was different from my dad whenever I can remember my dad swearing at the TV whenever it was confirmed that Bill Clinton won the first time,
because
my dad didn't like Bill Clinton, and I can remember in my head thinking yes.
Okay.
Like a proper celebrating in my head, but you know, not really having that discussion.
So you're a blue boy growing up in a red state then?
I like to think of myself as independent.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you take this election, for instance. I voted for third-party candidate.
Right.
Because I didn't feel that Hillary Clinton would have made a great president, and I definitely didn't feel that Trump would make a great president. But I couldn't, even though as much as I personally didn't want Trump to win, I couldn't cast my vote for Hillary Clinton, because with her, I felt that she had she come across as somebody that had a certain sense of entitlement. It was almost like, right, I'm going to be the next president, it's mine, and you're going to give it to me. That's what I felt, like, whether that was the case or not, but that's what I sincerely felt.
Sure.
Whereas Bernie Sanders, I would have voted for him all day long.
Okay. So what's it like growing up in that kind of small state? Because, like, everybody, I don't know what it's like in America, but a lot of people in the UK know the coastal states.
Yeah.
New York.
I'm telling you,
people know Florida. People know California. People know maybe Texas and Alaska and stuff like that. But a lot of the stuff in the middle, for the most part, obviously, I can't speak for everybody, but it kind of gets lost, and we don't know too much about it. I certainly don't, and I'd love to travel to states because I know that there is that vast array of culture and stuff.
I'm a bit.
What would I expect to find?
See, I think that I come from, like, and I would, I guess, because Americans in general, we're all patriotic, but it probably even boils down, or goes down to the state that you're from. I think that Arkansas is literally the most beautiful place in the whole of America.
Mm-hmm.
I think the people are the nicest people that you would meet. I think overall, the pace of life, for instance, it's, now that I'm away from that, and I've been taken away from that, I can appreciate how fast-paced life is here.
Mm.
You know, in Essex, to how relaxed it is in Arkansas. And it didn't feel any, whenever I lived in Arkansas, it didn't feel any different. It wasn't until I came over here that I realized how nice it was. Nobody's ever really in a hurry. You don't get the, everything gets done, but everybody's got time for other people.
Yeah.
Whenever one of the most difficult things for me to get used to over here was the fact that whenever you're walking down the street, you don't say hello to everybody. And I have to say that I got some proper weird looks whenever I come over here. Bear in mind, like, obviously I sounded a bit more country than I do now. Whenever I'd be like, "Addy," or "Hello," you know, people over here look at you like, "What do you want? What are you up to?" Like, it was.
What's your agenda?
But yeah, but it was almost like sad in a way, because after a few years living here, almost part of me, I wouldn't say died, but like part of me, I wasn't. Part of that was taken away from me, and as beautiful as this country is, that is the one thing that that I think Arkansas is better for.
I think it's
got to
be different. Like, I think wherever you can go in the world, you for the most part, people have a sense of home, their roots.
Yeah,
and I think if I was to say move from here to somewhere like an equal sized town or city where there's those where things are familiar, you know, somewhere like California, New York, on the outskirts of a major city, so that it's sort of like, you know, the Essex of California or the Essex of New York.
Yeah, I think any densely populated area, you would have the same thing. But I didn't really, other than like Dallas, I went to Dallas a few times. Other than that, I really didn't experience
masses of people
until I came here.
So, and because of those different cultures and ways of life of living cities and even large towns to out in the sticks of Arkansas, that it's a different, there's different customs and ways of communicating.
Yeah, no, we had phones.
No, yeah. But I mean, like, I mean, in terms of those hellos in the street.
Yeah, yeah,
that's kind of commonplace. And
yeah,
it would have been time...
if let's say for argument's sake, you were dropped off, in Gurnee, Arkansas, right now, and you're walking down the main street, high street, whatever. You're walking down it. In the unlikely event that you do bump into somebody, because let's be honest, there's not a lot of people that live there. If whenever you passed, you didn't in some way acknowledge the person that you passed, you would seem rude.
Yeah.
And you know, the person wouldn't say like, "Oh, you're rude" or anything like that. But they'd have that in their heads.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
What's wrong with him today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I have that. Like, I don't know whether it's because I spent a lot of time in like the countryside growing up. Like,
yeah.
My dad lived in like the Suffolk Norfolk borders, and
yeah.
And it's very villagey, and people say hello to you, and everybody in the pub knows your name and stuff like that. So, you know, and I'm a dog walker now, so I'm out in the fields and stuff in Essex. And if I see someone, I'll be like,
yeah.
"Hello."
Well, the thing I haven't had much. For whatever reason, I haven't had that much experience with outside Essex. I mean, we went to Cornwall for a holiday recently, and that seemed a bit more relaxed. But even that was a bit, I don't know. People still seem busy. I think this country is such a busy place.
Yeah.
And I think. If I had one criticism, would it be criticism? I think most English people need to slow down and appreciate what they have,
yeah,
because it is it's a constant struggle for more, more, more. You gotta do it quickly. And then I think by the time you're, you know, elderly, I don't want to turn around I don't want to turn around and think like, well, I didn't have time for people.
Yeah.
And I think here, unfortunately, it is, but that is one of the things that I do miss about Arkansas, the fact that people do inherently, you know, my experience anyway,
say how you doing and meet.
Yeah, they have time for you.
Yeah,
even if it's like 10 seconds as they're passing, they have time for you. And that is something that I do miss.
So what kind of stuff do you get up to growing up in such a rural,
well, it's
sparsely populated place? There's only so many trees you can climb, isn't there?
Didn't like climbing trees, actually. I was possibly the only one. It's the whole falling out of a tree thing that always stuck in my mind. I can imagine it's probably different now because you've got the internet. And but for me growing up, my earliest memory, like genuinely my first memory that I can think of, is me and my cousin playing out in front of the house. And this was before I was even going to school, so I must have been like 3-4 years old. And us making mud cakes, which is something that I don't know.
I did that as a kid.
Did you?
I
wouldn't imagine like the English doing that. But
kids play with mud.
But yeah, but just
we're not so busy at 3 to 4 years old that we all kind of say, you know, we can't play with mud today because we've got to go and, you know.
But in my very first memory, my poor cousin Rhonda, because she was a little bit younger than me, I said to her, I talked her into trying one of the mud pies.
Sure.
Yeah. I feel a bit guilty for that now, but I can remember it being very, very funny to my 4-year-old self.
Yeah, we play with mud, but I mean, I don't know, like, what are some of the other, like, cultural differences? Like, football, college football and stuff like that. That's what I want to go and see, like, a Friday night college football game. And
well,
I imagine that...
I'm planning on going out in November, and there's two reasons I want to go to Arkansas in November. And why I think it's an amazing, awesome place to be. You've got hunting season.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I know a lot of people in England like aren't so keen on hunting.
Yeah. Well, I'm not one of them, so that's all right.
Yeah.
Well, certain types of hunting.
Hunting for sport.
But hunting for sport is no good. But it's very. You've told me before that there's very much a. You go out and get your food.
Well, yeah.
By hunting, and that's quite a standard thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the other thing is high school football.
Yeah.
Not even college football, but high school football. There's obviously, well, Gurdon's small enough. It doesn't have a university.
Yeah.
And growing up, the only sport, the only time that everybody kind of came together, like all your mates would be there, everybody would be there. It's like, you know, Friday night football.
And I find that whole phenomena like fascinating. Like you mentioned being patriotic earlier, and America does seem a fiercely patriotic country to the point where sometimes it can be sickening.
Yeah. It's only because you English can't figure it out.
I think there's a certain loss of the great British spirit. I blame that on being that kind of busy kind of society that we are now, really. I certainly don't blame it on the fact that we're a mixed bag of cultures. I don't think that's diluted being patriotic. I think it's other things, for sure.
If you look at the States, for instance, well, where that comes from, if you look at the States, everybody in America is an immigrant of some sort.
Mm.
It's never stopped America from being... patriotic.
Yeah, and they're probably just as patriotic and stuff like that in the cities where there's that whole kind of boiling pot of cultures and stuff like that. And so I don't think that that's the reason that we sort of lost being super patriotic. And
I
think for the most part we are a patriotic country, but America probably tips it over. But I mean, everything's bigger and bolder.
I think
my
political view on that would be the English really, really care what other people think.
Right.
And I think that inherently, especially the politicians here, care more about what people think than what they think, if that makes sense. People need to...
This is podcast gold. Long silence.
How would I explain it? I really. Obviously,
what,
I,
what
I,
makes,
I, I
what
don't
makes.
Want. To, right, here you go. Example.
There you go.
I don't want. I never want to offend people. Mm-hmm. I don't want to like hurt people's feelings
or anything
like that. But I would like to think that I would never be ashamed of who I am, or not really ashamed. I would never I'd never be worried about, like, whenever I'm with my children, for instance. Let's use that as an example. If I'm walking down the high street and you've got every other British person walking down the high street, or maybe not just British, but everybody else walking down the high street, there has been occasions to where I dance. You know what I mean? I don't care. I'm with my children, for instance. I could really care what everybody else thinks while I'm doing that.
Yeah, you don't mind looking...
I don't mind looking...
You don't mind
ass.
Being yourself. Yeah.
Whereas I think for the most part, British people don't tend to do that. They are like, oh, don't do that. Don't act like that. Don't. I don't know.
But how does that fit in with being like patriotic in terms of like the differences? Cause
because
I think Britain really was a very, very patriotic country.
Yeah.
Probably still different in the ways that America is. But America seems to really keep that.
I think the British are almost. Once again, this is just my opinion.
Yeah.
I think not so much the British. The English are almost scared to be patriotic. I think they're worried about what other people might see as them being patriotic, as
interesting
being. A lot of times they're worried that they might come across as being racist, for instance.
Sure, yeah.
Instead
yeah.
of patriotic.
And some of the people now that are
even though they're not,
some
they're
of them are though, right?
Yeah, well,
I think indulge me for a minute. A lot of the patriotic people that I see and stuff like that, you know, I think there's that people get a bit scared that if I'm patriotic,
yeah,
through and through, people are going to think I'm part of that Britain's First group.
Yeah.
Who I just think are a massive bunch of tools.
But I
rapidly deleted quite a lot of people when it came to things like Brexit, and when people were talking about immigration and how we're going to kind of get a handle on that.
Yeah.
I don't think we need to stop it or necessarily like slow it down. I think we need to get a better handle on it.
Yeah.
Britain's First was one of those groups on Facebook that kept on coming up with just ridiculous.
Yeah, but I think
ways of showing and just stupid displays of being patriotic.
Yeah,
but I think even before that, like, I don't know.
Well, no, if you're talking politics, even like whenever you had the BNP, the BNP come across as the patriotic voice of the people.
That's
not patriotic. Patriotic isn't your political views. Isn't you wanting to change the world. Patriotic is, I would like to think that I'm patriotic to England. Like I'm glad to be here. I feel like I've been welcome in a country that I wasn't born in with open arms. I've never been made to feel by anybody here unwelcome.
No one screams at you, go back to America. Come over here, taking our jobs.
I have been told that a few times, but in jest, not like...
But that's a funny thing, isn't it? Like, if you think about it,
but
you've come over from another country and no one says that. It must be because you're white and from a very well-allied country.
Or I just think that I'm an amazing person that people can appreciate for being amazing. But no, I consider myself patriotic. Towards England. I mean, if I would get a tattoo, which I want, if I was to get a tattoo, I would definitely get an England flag. Yeah. Not so much a Union Jack, but that's only because I've spent all of my time in England. I haven't really spent much time in Scotland or...
Sure.
Wales.
Or, yeah, no...
But I'm never... I'd never be ashamed of that fact, and I'd never not want to show that off, if that makes sense. Yeah, that's the other thing. The English aren't really showmen. They don't.
No.
It, once again, that's a general statement. I'm not like singling people out. Just in general,
sure.
They don't like to show off. The English are quite reserved, really. Whereas the Americans, we tend to be outgoing, outrageous.
Did you have to do the is it the Pledge of Allegiance? Like when you start school, that's one of the things that like you say, being patriotic isn't necessarily a political thing. It can just be proud of who you are, where you're from, or where you are. And I think like that's a key phrase, is where you are, because you've come to England, are very much adopted our ways and cultures and stuff like that. Are pleased to be here, and you know you can say, yeah, I'm proud of, I'm not from here, but it's where I am, and I'm proud of that. And you can join in the celebrations of British things, just like anyone that is from here. But, you know, I'm missing my point now. I've kind of gone off.
You were asking about the Pledge of Allegiance
and stuff like that. Like, it's so fiercely patriotic, and, you know, we're going to do this. Is that something that gets done every morning before school?
I can remember.
Or is that just in the movies?
No, I can remember whenever I was in grade school. Well, basically first, second, third grade. Like, it is grade school. Is that what it's called over here?
No. Like primary school.
Yeah, see,
infants and juniors.
I get proper confused.
That's right.
But yeah, every morning, pledging the allegiance to the flag, actually standing up.
Yeah.
Everybody stands up at their desk, puts their right hand on their heart, and...
It's a real... The flag is a real symbol
in
America, and that's one of the things that I think maybe we don't have that patriotism.
I'm not overly convinced, though, that they still do that. Because I can remember we'd done it up until third grade, maybe, and then didn't do it again.
Mm.
But even, you know, the national anthem, we used to sing that as well. I actually like the fact, this is one of the, well, this is how I feel patriotic, or one of the things that, I don't know, I feel welcome here. I feel like a part of the country. And I went to London to see the NFL. I can't even remember what team it was. It was the Dolphins and the Raiders. And this is something that, in the States, I never had the opportunity to go and see the NFL. And I'm grateful that, I it's 45 minutes train journey, or an hour, and I could see them. But at the beginning, we ended up lucking out and sitting with the Raiders fans that traveled from California, the season ticket holder Raiders fans. And we got to sit right in the middle of them. And at the beginning of any American sport, you always have the national anthem.
Yeah.
And I sung the national anthem as I played the national anthem. And then they did God Save the Queen.
Yeah, yeah.
Afterwards. Cool. And I thought it was so amazing, as me as an American living in what I think is a great nation.
Yeah.
To be able to stand there
and sing them both.
And actually sing along to that one as well.
Yeah, that's
cool. Whereas, man, you know, the Americans that I was surrounded with, obviously they couldn't, but they still had their hats off, you know, to show respect, and they still stood up. And I don't know. It was an amazing feeling. It gave me goosebumps. It actually, to hear both of them back to back in both countries that, well, if I'm honest, I proper hold close to my heart. I think, you know, something as simple as that was just amazing. But I don't know. I can't speak for the English. I don't know if they get that. Do you get that at a sporting event whenever you do?
No. What I think, and I can't speak for everyone. We've said that quite a bit. The inherent British way of not wanting to offend anyone.
Yeah. But yeah.
I think our flag isn't... It's a symbol.
Yeah. But
it's not as powerful a symbol to the mass of British people as the American flag is a powerful symbol to the mass of Americans. Same as our sort of national anthem. And I think, you know, we're really patriotic and we're really, really British and can really throw on a good British show at huge events like the Olympics. 2012 was brilliant. It was a fantastic display and show of what the British people can do. And I felt proud then.
Yeah.
At times of crisis, things like you know, the recent terror attacks in London, Manchester, and ones going back, you know, the bombings on the buses and stuff like that. You know, I think that's when we sort of show some patriotism.
I think
it's at times of need and times of crisis, or at mega sporting things, we can be quite patriotic. But you guys sort of get behind each other all the time, and I think that goes back to right at the beginning, is you sort of had that less busy lifestyle and always make time for one another. Like with high school and college football and stuff like that, aside from the sport, it's a great excuse to for a community to get together.
And
you know, no one's outside of your mum and your dad, maybe, watch you play football you're at school.
Have you never sung like your national anthem and got goosebumps?
No.
Have you never? Oh, see, that's...
I don't actually remember a time when I would have been in a position to have done it. I'm not a huge sports fan.
Yeah.
And times when...
Yeah, I guess that's...
I can't even remember the case. Times...
It would be literally just sports over here that you would... get your national anthem.
And again, major sporting events. Like, I've been to like local football games, like Southend's, when it was Southend versus West Ham. I don't think we sung the national anthem then.
Yeah, see, this
I
is
went
a,
to that game.
This is a really big difference. Every one of our sporting events.
Yeah,
everyone,
no matter how big or small, what sort of you know, whether it's
Premiership,
national, football, or
the
third division.
Yeah,
the equivalents.
High school football. Everybody before it starts, you sing the national anthem.
Yeah.
I never thought about
and
that.
And I like,
but you don't, because
we
went and watched West Ham Chelsea. Come on, you hammers.
Yeah.
I went to watch West Ham. I do.
Oh, do you know who Sir Trevor Brooking is?
No, ain't gonna scare me.
So he was a big England and West Ham footballer. Like he's like 80 odd or something now, but yeah. He was at my dad's birthday party the other day.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. Anyway, so yeah, go on.
I forgot what I was saying. Actually, I was at West Ham.
Yeah, he was at West Ham. National anthems and stuff.
Yeah, but that sporting event, I'm almost for definite that they didn't play the national anthem.
I don't think.
But they did play the songs for the different teams.
I don't know. I don't watch enough football to do that. I know when we have like the Euro or the World Cups and stuff, then it will get done. And in things like athletics, you know, you win a medal, you're on the podium as a finisher of first, your flag's behind you and the national anthem's going. They're the only times I really think I hear it. I can't really remember other times in my life. And because I'm not a huge sports fan, especially of football and athletics, there are sports that I like, but those ones, I can't, yeah, I don't know the words. Even when I was at school and we used to have like assemblies and stuff where we'd sing stuff, it'd be more hymns.
Yeah.
And I'm not religious either. And I didn't go to a religious school. But yeah, you have like hymns. I don't think we even did the national anthem once a year in a big assembly or anything like that.
Yeah.
So that's just mad. Like, and one of the things that I think you have as a symbol to enforce the patriotic sort of way in America. Well, and I love it.
I think that's one of the reasons that you're as patriotic. But then again, no, I don't know.
You spoke about patriotism quite a
lot. But it's quite interesting.
Yeah, like, that's sort of...
I do think...
We can't talk about McDonald's and Wendy's all afternoon, can we?
Ooh, I love Wendy's. Wendy's is great. I do think that the English people are patriotic, but I think they just don't either know how to show it or they're too worried to show it.
Mm. And so moving on then from patriotism.
Yeah.
You said you had different stories and bits and pieces of growing up and stuff like that. Do you want to fire off something? Because I don't know loads about you, mate. Like we talk every few days about podcast stuff, and when you come round, we have a chat about various jobs and work and as a families and stuff like that. And we're growing close as friends, but there's a whole load of stuff I don't know about you. So you might as well tell me.
Before we do that, is it possible to just take 5 minutes?
Yeah. Well, let's take 2 seconds.
Got to urinate.
Go for it.
Love you guys.
So we're back, suitably refreshed from our wheeze and cigarette break.
Yeah.
And it's just started heaving it down with rain, and I've just said, oh, look, we got a bit of thunder. And you said, we don't have storms here.
Yeah.
What are the storms like in there? You like that Tornado Alley bit?
For all you people that have never been to the UK, they literally do not know what a storm is. A couple of claps of thunder, and it classifies as a storm.
Yeah.
Yes, so I grew up in, Tornado Alley.
Arkansas is in Tornado Alley, so it gets a bit hairy.
Yeah, there's no greater buzz in the world, and this has sincerely happened to me, to where you turn on the TV and you've got the weather guy standing there and he says,
run.
Well, no, he said, on this particular occasion that I'm thinking about, it was me and my mate at home, and he's come on and he said, watch out in Clark County, which is where I'm from. Watch out in Clark County. There's strong winds and there's a potential tornado on the ground. And the lights go out.
What, at that moment?
Yes.
No.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool. Power goes out and you think, this could be the one.
That's not a good thing, man. Those things rip through your little wooden houses.
It was just me and him, man. It was.
You don't even build your houses out of brick.
It was proper buzz. We probably done the one thing that you should never do.
Chase it.
We got in my car because it you couldn't really see a lot. I mean, it was dark anyway, but you really couldn't see a lot, so you didn't know how strong the winds were or anything else. And well, let's be honest. If you're going to don a tornado, you want to see it, right?
I don't know.
Just saying. You know, you do want to see it. So we jumped in our car and we went to the Jiffy Mart, which is just basically like a gas station.
Okay.
But it's really well lit up around there. And we stood there out front. There was just enough to keep the rain off of us from the top. And watched as you got these massive claps of thunder, this strong winds like almost tipping over trucks that are parked.
Mad.
And yeah, thinking this could be the one. But it was sincerely a buzz.
The one like, that what?
That kills us. That gets us.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's...
And obviously it didn't.
In all fairness at the time, I just want to say that I was like in my 20s and I don't know. I really... It's not that I didn't care.
Have a sort of...
Invincibility. Like, yeah, you're invincible. And if something does happen, you think, well, so what if it does?
Yeah.
It's a bit of fun.
Okay. It's mad. So, yeah. What are the things that you miss about the States, man? What are the things that, like, oh, man, I'm missing that today?
I think the one thing that I absolutely, 100%, miss, and it's the one thing that I do every time that I go out to the States, is I wake up early in the morning, I go outside, nobody else is awake, you don't have to worry about the sound of traffic or anything else, you go outside, I sit down and I just listen to nature, sipping on my cup of coffee.
Yeah.
And the weather's beautiful. You just, I don't know. It's a state of proper relaxment. Is that a word?
Relaxation.
Relaxation. I like my word.
Relaxment might be a word in America, but it ain't here, buddy.
I'm pretty sure it's not. Yeah, and it's such an amazing feeling. You can proper, just even if it's for a few minutes, you can proper just let everything go. And literally, you're just surrounded by nature.
What about material things and stuff, like, in terms of things that you just don't get here? Because we get nature, I mean...
Yeah, but you don't. I have never, ever been anywhere in this country. Far enough away from traffic that it's not there. I've been to your woods... Even in Cornwall, there was not. There's always some other noise.
Yeah, need to get up to Scotland.
Yeah, but then you got cold and the lakes rainy and stuff. Actually, I do want to go to the Lake District. I think that would be cool. Well, there's loads of places in this.
I'll take you some places, buddy. I'm sure it's not as big and empty as Arkansas, but.
Well, I think it's... I can remember quite often, because I used to work like loads of night shifts and things like that, I can remember quite often driving up to, we've got a lake, what y'all call lakes here and what we call lakes there is completely different. Basically, a pond here is a lake.
Right.
We call those ponds. Like anything that you...
So our lakes are ponds to
anything
you
can throw a rock across is a pond. I think that would be the easiest way to describe it.
Okay.
If you can safely swim from one side to the other, like obviously not being an athlete and not drown, then that's a pond.
Yeah.
So... We have a lake. It's called... It's a grey lake. And the dam is quite... Well, there's a highway that runs over it. And it's quite tall. And you've got, like, a visitor's center. I've never seen anybody at this visitor's center. But there is a visitor's center there. And you could... There was, like, a platform that you could walk across. And there was quite a few times. Even, you know, in my later teens and... early 20s, that I would drive out there, bearing in mind it's a proper scene out of a horror film.
Right.
Like, you're in the middle of... There's literally nobody else around. It's just you. And, you know, nature can be scary.
Yeah, yeah.
But I always felt... I don't know. I always felt comfortable. But I'd walk out to the platform, the viewing platform, and I'd sit there and I'd just watch the sun come up. Because at this level... You could see, it was basically just a forest, and you could see as the sun was coming up, and quiet. The quiet is just, although...
See, I said material things, and you've gone back to nature. Didn't have any idea you were such a sentimental guy, man.
I'm not, I've never been, obviously there's things that I want, and there's things that I've owned, but there's not really... I can't look back at Arkansas and miss... I don't miss anything material.
No.
I literally don't miss... obviously, if I lived there, it would be different. My house... Well, especially the price that I'll pay for the house here.
Yeah.
My house there would just be massive.
Sure.
And I would have... If I was making the same thing there as I was here, I would have, like, loads more material things. But I think I would still end up in the middle of a forest somewhere.
Mm.
Because I am, and it was probably, a lot of it's probably down to the way that my dad raised me. Because he did, inadvertently, whether he like meant to or not, I grew up respecting nature and enjoying, I don't know, God's gift.
Yeah, sure.
If you know, whether you believe or not, you know, appreciating. So yeah, I don't think there would be any.
So what material... brought you here, man?
Yeah, yeah. Here's
here's the rub.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I never wanted to move out of Arkansas. Right. I never wanted to leave Arkansas. I never pictured myself living anywhere else but Arkansas. Not even a different part of Arkansas. I wanted to live there. That is where I was going to live and I was going to die. But I think circumstance obviously changed that. I discovered this thing called the internet.
Right.
And me and my best mate growing up, we used to, on a Friday night, whereas you guys probably went to the club.
Yeah. Clubs and pubs.
Yeah. Or even before you were old enough to drink.
Or ponds. Maybe.
Yeah, ponds, yeah. Not lakes, though. whenever we discovered the internet, it was just amazing.
Right.
It was literally like, it was a gift from God. It was, unfortunately, we didn't use it as such. But what would happen is I would go, I'd get a case of beer.
Sure.
Evan Williams whiskey. And we'd sit there in Yahoo voice chat, and me and my mate would take the piss out of everybody. We would literally spend an evening making fun of people.
That sounds a bit harsh.
It does. No, I know what you're thinking. This guy's an asshole. Yeah. But it was... I think a lot of people,
we never pushed, when they discovered chat rooms,
that's
the first thing that comes in is like, I can abuse people because they're not there.
You have to you have to remember that these weren't people that we know and people that knew us, and they weren't in, I would like to think, not in situations to where they couldn't have a laugh back.
Sure,
we weren't in there. I don't know. It's almost a case of like eventually everybody joined in.
And sure,
it just ended up, whereas there's not a lot of people in good old Gurdon, Arkansas to like sit in a room and chat with. You know, all of a sudden we're
connected to things outside of Arkansas.
We're in this chat room with like 100 people. And, you know, it's a banner, I think, more than anything. But I first started speaking to what later became my wife in one of those chat rooms. She'll hate me for saying this, but literally the first words, don't judge me, people.
You're going to tell a true story of how you met your wife, and you're going to say, don't judge me.
This is literally, well, it's the truth. It's how it happened. We were in a chat room. Now, we had a name for everybody that spoke.
All right.
Now, these might not have been particularly nice names. Now, my wife, well, I didn't know her about this time. Obviously.
Yeah. She was just someone on the other side of the world in the chat room, right?
Well, I can put you in her shoes. This was the first time that she's ever went to a chat room. She was trying to on her computer. It's the first time she ever logged into the internet.
This is like back in the birth of the internet.
This is back in the day. This is literally the first time that she's ever used the computer to go on the internet. And what she was trying to do was talk to her friend that was in England. And she had Yahoo chat, and she was trying to directly message her, but she clicked on the chat button and it took her to a chat room which had me and my friend in it. And she actually said, I can't remember her friend's name. Well, I can, but I'd rather not say it.
Yeah, sure.
But she said her friend's name, and I said, shut up, you whore.
Oh, for God's sake.
I did. And she said, don't be nasty. And she said, don't be nasty. And she speaks the Queen's English. She doesn't have an Essex accent. She doesn't have, like, you know, her accent's very, posh, I think you would describe it.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, don't be nasty. And once she said that, I thought, I kind of want to hear her say that again. But then we started chatting. From that point on, we started chatting. It was never anything too serious. It literally was just friends chatting more than anything. And then she eventually come out to the States, where my mate was living with me at the time.
So what? Hang on, go back a minute. The first things you've bloody said is "shut up, you whore," and the next thing she's on a plane coming out to meet you.
No, dude, we're talking almost a year later.
Okay, so she got over your childish sense of humor.
Well, no, I did after that. I did start talking to her seriously, as opposed to, and I'm not going to lie, her voice, because that's all I knew of her, made all the difference.
The exotic English queens.
The posh British voice. He just
did something for you.
Yeah, it did. But she did eventually come out to Arkansas, and we're talking about possibly a year later. And whenever she did, I was living with my best mate and I were living in the same house. My best mate, I knew him. I don't know, I've known him all my life, but we were friends. We became friends probably in middle school.
Right.
So,
what sort of age is that?
I don't know, about 13?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, 12, 13. But we had similar senses of humor, and, you know, we just...
But how old are you at this point?
Oh, wow, at this point, I'm 20, 21.
20, 21?
Yeah. But she came out, and she stayed there for 10 days. And I'm not going to lie.
With you and your buddy?
Yeah, with me and my mate. And I think that's whenever we kind of thought, wow, you know, we're in love.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like. And so much so that whenever, you know, she went back, we drove her back to Memphis. You know, it was sad. I didn't want her to go. She didn't want to go. You know, we had a bit of a connection, and I think both of us in the back of our heads thought, well, you know, we live 4,000 miles away. There's no way this is going to work. In all fairness, we both thought that at the time, but we wanted it to work.
Yeah, I've known a few people that have had internet relationships and stuff like that. I've never had one myself. I've never really met anyone online. I've certainly never met anyone I'd travel 4,000 miles to go and see, but I've known a few, and they've all ended in drift apart.
Yeah.
It's rare, isn't it?
I don't know. This was kind of done before it was done. You know what I mean? People didn't really do that then.
Yeah. Yeah, there was no match.com. There was no...
Yeah.
There was more social taboo around internet relationships when it first started. Now it's sort of...
Like, now it's kind of accepted. And,
you know, 3 out of 4 but we, ridiculous are on the online relationships now, aren't they? Through whatever guys and whatever. But, yeah.
So she's went back to doing... She's come back to the UK. And even then I thought... Even though I said that I would come to the UK for a visit, in the back of my head I thought, I ain't getting on a plane. You know what I mean? In my head, that was Mr. T, by the way. But in the back of my head, I thought, I won't be getting on a plane. But I don't know. See, part of me thought I would, part of me thought I didn't. But either way it goes, that's it. I can't talk about anything else.
What do you mean?
No.
I just paused it then because Rob was getting a bit... didn't know how to say the next bit because it's sort of met his wife online and then she came here and then decided to end up getting back on the plane to go home because that's where she lived and he didn't want her to go and then something tragic happened, right?
Yeah. I mean everybody that knows me like back home knows this. Basically it, like I said, me and my mate we lived together. We were
best buds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically as crazy as it is, I could never see my life without him in it. It was never even thought about. It was like no matter what I ever did with my life, he was always going to be there.
Yeah.
But you get
that with best mates, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've had a couple of really good friends and one of them is a really good mate now, and we had a bit of a bust up, but we're back being mates, and it's one of them. Even when we bust up and we didn't speak to each other for a good few years, it was like, I don't know, over that period of time, it was like, oh, I know he's going to be my mate at some point. It's just a matter of one or both of us sort of moving past it and getting back in touch. He's my son's godfather, so he's never been out of my life.
Yeah.
But then there's another guy that, you know, I had a business with him. He was like a brother to me, you know. I loved him to bits, and our business went south, and he didn't want to do it anymore, and he found a new thing in his life, and I represented a part of, I guess, his life that he was like, I don't need that, and he walked away from the friendship, and that was fucking devastating because I thought this guy is like my best bud, like a brother, you know. We've been away on holidays together, we've been away on business trips together, we bloody, you know, shared hotel rooms and partied together, and we set up a phenomenal business together.
Yeah.
And you think that will last forever.
Yeah. Well, we had with my mate. I'm just going to tell the story.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Me and my mate, like, we never spoke to each other. Like, there was never, I don't know. Even though we had mutual respect, the way that we spoke to each other was, it from the outside world looking in, would have thought, why do they hate each other? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was a lot of banter between us. And I can remember one morning him, I was in bed, and we kept, because of like work schedules and stuff, we kept like really strange hours. Mm. You know, a lot of times we'd sleep during the day and we'd be up all night. But this particular time, I went to bed and he was still on the computer, I think it was. And I went to bed and
abusing people in chat rooms.
Well, no. In all fairness, we did eventually lose interest in doing that. We did
the novelty of the internet. Yeah, more often you used it for grown up stuff.
Well, I don't think we ever used it for grown up stuff. But I kind of just left him on the computer. I left him on the computer and I went to bed. I remember him waking me up saying, I don't know, you dumb MF, where the F are the keys, like meaning the keys to the car. And me thinking, like, in my half asleep brain, like, you know, F off.
Yeah.
But he did find the keys and he said, I'm going to go out to the truck stop, which was where we went. This is...
What's a truck stop? Like a petrol station?
Yeah, but it's open 24 hours. It's literally the only business out there that's open 24 hours. Except for Walmart. No, that's here. Yeah, so he's got in the car, and as he's pulling away, because he was going to go out there for some food, and as he's pulling away, I think, you know what? I want some food too. I start banging on the window, trying to get him to stop.
Banging on the window of the house?
Yeah, of the house.
Ah, okay.
On the window, saying, like, you know, stop. Like, I was in no position to walk outside at that time, so that's the best I could do.
He was asleep,
yeah.
So you're naked or in your drawers, basically.
Yeah. So I'm trying to stop him, but he didn't see me, he left. So I thought, screw it, I'm going to go back to sleep. So I did. I went back to sleep about 5 o'clock in the morning. I just shot out of bed. I was like wide awake. So I've looked at the time and I thought, like, well, he's going to be back any minute. I'm going to make his ass go back out because I want some food.
Yeah.
I'm hungry. So I've put my clothes on and it was about, I don't know. There was no shower or anything involved. I just put my clothes on.
Sure.
So it was about 10 minutes, probably about 10 minutes or so. I found, he's probably chatting up the girl at the truck stop. He'd kill me for saying that. But that's what he was doing. And so I found the truck stop and talked to her. And she said, oh, no, he left about 20 minutes ago. And that's roughly how long it takes.
To get from the truck stop back home, yeah.
Yeah. So... I'm dressed and I'm waiting for him. And as I'm there waiting, there's a knock at the door. So me being me, I'm like, well, it fucking took you long enough.
About time,
God, damn
man.
It.
Where's my food?
Like, I'm swearing at him as I'm walking to the door. And I open the door and his brother's standing there. Now, he had, I think, three brothers, and this one in particular, I didn't see much of him.
Yeah, his younger brother. Mates with his brother,
I didn't see much of him, and his younger brother, but not really him, and he's at the door, and I'm like, well, what do you want? And, I can remember him saying to me, so BJ's dead. And me looking at him and saying, that shit ain't funny. And me actually, you know, start to have a go at him saying like, oh, you know, there's lines to everything, you know, banner is banner, but that's not funny. And then I realized that he's fucking telling the truth. And once I realized, like, he's serious, you know, he's just described an accident. And I thought, I don't know. It couldn't be true in my head, even though, you know, something is true.
Yeah.
At the same time, sometimes your mind says it's not true. And I can remember going out, because I lived in town at this point. I can remember stepping out on my, stepping off the porch and proper screaming at the top of my lungs. Because I just needed to release. It just didn't make sense. And his brother, he had his little brother with him as well. Which that whenever I looked at him, that's whenever I knew it was serious. My friend and his little brother, you would never ever see tears in their eyes. They just weren't the crying type, whereas I was. They weren't. And I seen tears in his eyes, and that's whenever I like knew. But I went with them because they had to tell, I think, one of their other brothers. Oh no, actually this is before, I'm remembering this wrong. The little brother didn't know. Me and him went to tell his little brother, which was a messed up situation in its own, I guess.
So what had happened?
Basically what happened was that, you know, it was 5 o'clock in the morning. My mate's on his way home, and a log truck full of logs pulled out onto the highway. It's dark at 5 o'clock in the morning. This was, I think it was October. The log truck didn't turn its lights on for the trailer. And my mate just never seen him. They just, you know, he was here.
And it's like rural Arkansas, so the roads have got
no, there's no street lights. And there's absolutely no street
lights. No lights from buildings, and no. Just say it's going to be dark.
And it was just
horrible, man.
It was just by chance that his brother was passing by. Well, it must be like traumatic for his brother even now. I mean, I've never really spoken to him about it, but it just so happens that his brother was passing by.
No, really?
And he's seen his brother thought it was me.
And although, because it was your car?
Yeah, because it was my car. His brother thought it was me, and it wasn't. He said it wasn't until that he walked up that he could see BJ's arm. Because even now, that's how I drive. That's how we drove. You know, you stick your arm out the window, and that's... So, yeah. But the next few days were proper, for me personally, were surreal. It didn't feel, at no point did it feel like it really happened. And
I get that a lot on like the other people that have shared similar experiences, and I'm sort of lucky in my life that I've not ever really lost anyone. But you're not the first person to say that they don't believe it.
Yeah.
Even though they know it's true, their brain tells them it can't be, or then they go into this kind of, after for a few days, sort of state of surreal.
Well, my brother, I mean, he's my brother's always been my rock anyway, but he immediately took 2 weeks off work, which is not an easy thing to do in Arkansas,
right?
He immediately took 2 days or 2 weeks off work, and he would not let me leave his side. At the time, so much so that it was almost aggravating, because in my head, and looking back on it, once again, it doesn't make sense, but in my head, I was having a bad dream. I needed to go back home and wait for my friend to come home.
Yeah.
And it, even though looking back on it, it makes absolutely no sense. That's where my head was at that time. I had to go home and I had to wait for him to come home. And there was nothing that anybody could say to me that would get that out of my head. And I can remember like telling my brother over and over, I need to go back to the house. And he's like, and it's not like he wouldn't let me.
Yeah.
He said, all right, well, let's go to your house. And we did. We went to the house and he's like, well, I don't know. Like, why do you want to be here? Do you want to get some things? And I can remember telling him like, no, you just go home, leave me here. I knew how insane it would sound. I didn't tell my brother. Like this is what I was doing, but he wouldn't leave me. And I ended up staying at my brother's house, and inadvertently at the same time, my mother, who could see how messed up I was, well, let's go back a bit. Every time I would get upset, and it was always funny things, like things that should be comical, that would bring me down. That would just fucking, I would melt. I'd cry like you wouldn't believe. And my brother, he was just, even though I can't remember a lot, he was just there. Every time I broke down, he was literally there. He would just grab me and like embrace me and like say, no, Robert, it's going to be all right. And I can never thank him enough for that. But my mother could see that I wasn't in a good place. Personally, looking back at me then, like with my head now, I was on the verge of, I guess, what people would call a breakdown, a mental breakdown. And my mother phoned up, and I didn't even know she had her number, phoned up Izzy, who later becomes my wife.
So this girl that you've had this internet relationship, she's been over, she's met your friends.
Yeah, met my parents.
She's got back on a plane, gone home.
Yeah.
This thing happens in your life, and you're at a bit of a low point.
Yeah.
And your mum phones your foreign girlfriend.
Yeah, and says that we...
Mad.
Yeah, and says we've got to get him out of here. She could see, well, that the best thing for me at the time was to get me away from the situation, because there was literally nothing.
With him. He's your childhood friend in a, by the sounds of it, pretty empty town.
Yeah.
Your lives are pretty intertwined, and...
Yeah.
I think it sounds like, you know, you've got this post-traumatic stress thing going on where a trauma has happened, and that's hard to, I would imagine that's hard to get over and to deal with when there's constant reminders of that all the time, you know?
It also didn't help that the way that I had to travel just about everywhere would have been past where it happened.
Yeah, one road in, one road out kind of town.
Although I was intentionally making people drive, 4 or 5 miles around, this highway where I should have traveled. Because I couldn't see it. I couldn't see any of it. I was, I don't know, I really, really wasn't dealing with it well. But my mother contacted Izzy and said, we've got to get him out of here. They arranged a plane ticket for me and just said I was going, and just said, you're going to the UK, you're going to stay there for a little while. And it was like, what was it, 4 or 5 months my ticket was. My mother didn't, there was no plans for me to come back immediately. And I can remember throwing clothes in a bag. Because I was able, at one point to go into the house by myself, and I can remember like going in there, and I threw my clothes in a bag. I took two of my friend's t-shirts, and I literally left everything else in my house. And I told my friend's dad, another guy that I think is an absolute star, because he lost his son, and he was consoling me. He was saying like, "Oh, I know it must be rough to lose a friend at that age."
Mm.
And I can remember him like actually consoling me whenever he's the one that, you know, lost a child. Like,
yeah,
just to show you what kind of, I think, amazing people. I don't know, amazing people you get. But I told him, I told him to take whatever he wants from the house, and that was the last time I stepped foot in that house. I got my clothes.
I packed up and came to the UK.
Yeah. And that's how I got here.
Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know any of that.
Yeah.
And yeah, you told me, and then when you started to, and you know, you paused, and we've gone out to, you know, we've gone a little bit around the houses.
Yeah.
Because it is a...
Even to this day,
you probably didn't think you'd start talking about, but if that's how you sort of ended up here, then that's the story, you know. I think other people might, and like I say, I've not ever really been in that position where I've had that tragic sort of thing happen, but I think most people could probably identify with the reaction, and then, yeah, often something wonderful can come of something tragic, and if that was kind of something that happened that put you on a plane and then come in here, you get to know get to know is he better, and
I mean, whenever fall I came in love here,
stronger, and
whenever I came here, it wasn't like a silver bullet. It wasn't like, oh, everything's fixed now.
No,
but whereas my brother was my rock, the person that was like proper mentally. He was there. He just helped me through it. It kind of fell on Izzy's shoulders to do that.
Mm.
And she did. She done it brilliantly. Although at times I think I probably done her head in. But she stayed there. She stuck with me. And by the end of it, we got married. We got, by the end of that 4 months, 5 months. Sorry. By the end of that 5 months, we got married. I went back out to the States for 3 months and come back here, and I've been here 17 years.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
It's a mad little story. Mad little story, and yeah. I mean, thanks a lot for telling me.
Yeah.
So, I had no idea what we'd talk about today.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd get producer Rob on, because he's always on the computer editing the podcast, and I thought, you know, he's American. I've not had anyone American and amazing. And coughing his guts up now.
Has a proper cough going on now.
Because he's got all upset and smokes too many cigarettes.
I do smoke too many cigarettes. I gotta stop.
But yeah, we've had an American conversation about patriotism. We've had an amazing conversation about, you know, how you ended up in the UK and the sad loss of your buddy. I mean, when was the last time you told that or thought about that in terms of?
It's something that I
because like I said, I didn't know.
I never not. I think about it daily. To this day, I still think about it. Whenever I see and I appreciate that is. Yeah. Every time I see his initials and car number plates, for instance,
yeah.
I always think of him. I don't think there's. I would still venture to say, even almost 18 years later. Well, I guess it is 18 years later. I still think about him like almost daily.
Yeah. Good buddy, huh?
Yeah. He was a. I think anybody that knew him could tell you he was very unique. You know, the stories that he could tell as well. I mean, he proper had some traumatic things happen to him, like growing up. So there was a lot of things that made him him, but he was just an amazing person.
Cool, man.
I named one of my children after him.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, his initials. But, yeah.
Cheers, man.
What?
Such a geek.
Poo.
Oh, yeah. Poo. Right. You're going to finish as you started.
Poo.
I'm turning it off, you idiot.
Yeah.
There you have it. That is the voice of the infamous, notorious American and amazing Rob, who does all the podcast editing and all of the audio technicality stuff that I have no idea. I'd be a bit lost without him, really. And that was really nice. He came on. He did his thing. Did what you just kind of he popped around. And I stuck him on, and he left after being around for a good couple of hours, and we made that, and I thought that was really cool. I had no idea really that he'd lost someone, and it was really sad. That I mean, I've never lost someone. Like I said, I've never really lost someone. That's been a huge part. Recently, I've lost a couple of friends. That were my age that I went to school with, but you know, I'd be lying if I said we were really really close now. So although it was very sad and upsetting to hear of these friends passing away, it sort of there was enough sort of distance between us, you know. We'd both gone on with our lives, and yeah, I couldn't imagine what it'd be like to lose a really close friend that I hang about with every day, that I live with. And yeah, that's not nice when you're 20. That's not good, and it affects people in different ways. And yeah. So, but every silver light, you know, every cloud has a silver lining, and it through his mum's intervention and putting him on a plane, he ended up in the UK. And as a result of being in the UK, he managed to really let his relationship grow with Izzy, and she's wonderful. And I've never met her. It's weird. I've never met her, but we've spoken loads on the phone, which is a bit strange, and on Facebook. But every time I go around Rob's house, she's out. So I'll have to meet her. Izzy, if you're listening, come around, darling. But yeah, he's a bit of a child at heart. Obviously, he started the conversation, and he's the first person I've ever had to ditch the first 5 minutes of audio and start again, because he goes really childish. Obviously, he said poo at the start, and he's older than me. He's 38. He says poo at the start and poo at the end. But that's what I love about him, because he's a really lovely guy, but he's got his vulnerabilities, I guess, and he breaks awkwardness by being a bit silly. You can have a serious conversation with him, but you put him on a microphone and he gets silly. And then I suppose to break that awkwardness of how we sort of ended that conversation, he sort of went a bit silly again. But that's the wonderful thing about people. It's like why we love the character Chandler on Friends, because, you know, he makes awkward jokes and stuff like that when he feels uncomfortable. And I think that's sort of what makes us all different, isn't it? Is that we all have our little eccentricities, and that's Rob's. So he's a cool guy. Thanks, Rob, for doing that. Like I said, I have no idea what episode number this is. It could be episode 11, it could be episode 27. I don't know when I'm going to put it out. I just wanted to record the intros and the outros whilst it's fresh in my head and whilst I feel a little bit moved by it. Have a lovely day, everybody. Love each other, do all of that stuff. Go and give someone a hug. I'm gonna go and hug my dog because I'm all alone in the house. yeah, check out the website, thatmrchristopher.com. Thanks, and I'll catch up with you next week. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.